Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are so excited today. We are here to talk with another actress and writer today. It's very exciting. We're talking to Liliana Tandon, who is the writer and lead actress in the new film that's coming on Up TV, The Ring for Christmas. And I'm film critic Rachel Wagner. And Liliana, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. So what we've been doing lately is we're starting our interviews, asking our guests, what was this whole crazy experience like for you with quarantine? Did you do any quarantine baking or puzzles or anything like that?
Yeah. So I've only done one puzzle.
Okay.
I did get one puzzle. They were sold out everywhere for so long. I could barely get my hands on one. But yeah, you know, it's been okay. I've been quarantining in New York City with my fiance, John. We were supposed to get married this summer. Oh. So that was something that got postponed, but, you know, we're happy because we postponed it really early. We decided like in April, we were like, there's no way, that we'll be able to do this year. So we got all our vendors at our location, you know, our band, like everyone was able to move to our new date because we decided so early.
That's good.
Yeah. And we're also like, you know, obviously it's sad to postpone a wedding, but you know, we're lucky, you know, we both have our health, our families have their health, you know, our friends are all okay. So there are definitely worse things, you know, that you could be dealing with right now than that. But yeah, baking, definitely. I've gotten to the bread whole thing. I tried to withstand the sourdough trend for so long, but then I saw my friend and he was like, I actually have my starter. Do you like want some of the starter? So he just gave me some starter. So I was like, well, I guess if you're going to give it to me, Glenn, then I'll start making sourdough. So yeah, definitely. It's been fun. I'm a huge cook. So that's been good. I've been doing a lot of cooking, but it has been fun to branch out into baking and stuff. I'm not normally a huge baker, but it's been fun.
So have you made some good sourdough?
You know, his starter was impressive. He made some pretty good sourdough, but my poor friends, Mike, Glenn, and my sister, Olivia, the three of them bake a lot of bread. And so they've just been getting incessant texts from me. Like, am I doing this right with the starter? When do I feed it? I have this many grams. What do I do? It has this liquid on top. What's going on? So my poor friends and family have been really dealing with me trying to learn how to make this sourdough. My sister's like, it's really not that complicated. I think you're making this too hard for yourself.
Oh, there's a little local grocery store here where I live it's actually called The Store. And they did this whole, there was like easy sourdough tutorial or whatever on their Insta story. And it was so complicated. It's just like, you are not selling this at all.
I love bread bakers. They're like, it's so easy. It just takes 12 hours. You have to keep folding it over and over. I'm like, this is not simple for most people. I don't know what you're talking about.
It took them like 4 days, I swear, of like long Insta stories. I'm just like, wow, you all lost me long ago.
This wasn't sourdough, but one of my favorite things I've made. I have made homemade baguettes during quarantine.
Wow.
And those, oh my God, fresh out of the oven baguettes. It's so good. But that one is a long, hard, complicated. You have to start it the night before and do a whole thing. So it is really complicated.
That is funny. Yeah, I'm too impatient for baking. Aside from like cookies, I can handle cookies. Mm-hmm. But yeah, these ones that require multiple risings and stuff, I'm like, no way.
do you have a cookie that's like your kind of specialty that you go to?
I mean, I really love to make a chocolate chip cookie, but use both dark, like semi-sweet, and milk chocolate. Like, ooh, that is so delicious. Especially if you get those big milk chocolate chips,
so they're like really gooey spots.
Yeah,
of the chocolate. Yeah,
that's the best.
That sounds really good right now.
But I think there's nothing better than a really hot chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah, if you can get that right. Are you a crunchy chocolate chip cookie or a soft doughy?
Soft.
Cookie? Me too.
Definitely soft. And I think the key is getting them out of the oven like a minute early when they're still looking a little gooey. Then that's when they're perfect.
Yeah, for any of your listeners, that is a cooking tip as well. Things like meat and things even will, like chickens and everything, they'll keep cooking for a little bit after you take them out. So do take them out maybe a minute before you think they're done.
Be brave. Yeah. It'll work out. Well, that's great. I mean, it sounds like you've really taken this difficult time and really done all that you could to make it a positive experience for you, which I love to see.
Yeah, it's been tough, but it's been okay. Finding those pockets of joy is very important for
sure. That's a good way to describe it. And I'm glad everything worked out with the wedding. My sister had a similar experience, but they actually did end up getting married by Justice of the Peace because she's over in England. And so she had to get married for her visa. And so, in fact, they were originally going to get married in April, but then the registrar's office closed. And so they got married in, I think, July or August. And it was fun. They did like a whole little kind of a cute little Insta story video thing. And so we were kind of, you know, we were sad that we didn't get to go, but at least we got to, you know, they got to see it at least, which
was nice. Congratulations to them.
Yeah. And so then they'll do the wedding next year. So hopefully we'll be able to go over there. Go over the wedding. But anyway, so it's been crazy for every family. I mean, for everybody, it's just been wild. But so how did you end up getting into acting, becoming an actress?
Yeah, I started attending a summer camp called Brown Ledge. It's on Lake Champlain in Vermont. It's beautiful. And I went there. It's not a theater camp. It's kind of like an everything camp. And I went there with the intentions of horseback riding. That's really what I wanted to do. I was like, I'm all about the horses. But my older sister, I have two older sisters, and my middle sister, Zandra, decided to audition for a play. And of course, I'm the youngest. So I said, well, I want to copy you. I have to do everything you do. So I auditioned for a play. And that was it. I completely forgot about horseback riding. I started doing acting there every summer. They have, as I said, they're not a theater specific camp, but their theater department is really incredible. And what makes it so special is you get to do both sides. So it's a sleepaway camp. It's 8 weeks long. During the day, you are you're learning how to build sets, use like equipment and all that stuff. You're learning how to paint, like you're doing all these fun things. And then they do 3 one-act plays every week. So 3 short plays, you get cast on Sunday, perform on the next Saturday for the whole camp. And then they do a full-length play in 2 weeks and a full-length musical in 2 weeks. So it's really rigorous for like young campers to be doing, but it definitely taught me like how to learn lines really quickly and how to build characters really quickly. So it was definitely an invaluable experience for sure. And then I started, you know, doing my school plays, and then I ended up going to Tisch at NYU for, I was in the conservatory program there at the Stella Adler Studio of Acting. So,
wow.
So it all that started from just copying my sister. That's how it started.
As the oldest sister in my family, oldest girl in my family, I can relate to that. Relate to your sister.
Yep, for sure. I'm like,
that sounds so fun. I wish that we could do stuff like that as adults. You know, wouldn't that be amazing? That would be
fun. I actually do have a friend who like, she did go to like a, they do have them. She was like, I'm going to adult summer camp, but it was only like a weekend. It was like a long weekend or something. It wasn't, you know, the whole summer of going to camp, but
that would be really fun.
Yeah.
It would be so fun. But that sounds great. A great way to get initiated into the arts. I did theater in high school myself, and that was such a positive experience for me. Yeah. So much fun. Did you do musicals or just plays?
I'm more of a play person. I can sing. I'm like one of those people who they say you're like an actor who say, who can sing. Like I can, I can sing. I can, I stay, I'm on pitch, you know, but I'm not like Broadway, you know?
Right.
So, you know, I like seeing musicals that are kind of like real, you know, real people singing, because then I'm like, oh, that's good for me. I can do that. But
yeah,
if it's some sort of fancy, technical singing requirements, it's not me.
Yeah. I love to sing, and I think I have a decent singing voice. My problem with musicals is I am a absolutely atrocious dancer. I am the worst. Cause I'm slightly like a little bit dyslexic. And so those kinds of like pattern dances where you have to memorize, it's so hard for me. So
it's definitely tough. I feel bad. Yeah, it's tough. I have a bunch of friends, yeah, who are amazing singers, but they're like, I don't dance. And this is really, it's a struggle for me because I really want to do Broadway, but I just can't dance that well. So yeah, it's definitely tough.
It's tough, but still it's so much fun. Just to be in the chorus, I was so much fun. Of all the different shows in high school. So it can really inspire you to get into acting and to just, I don't know, it's just fun to be part of a group that all puts on a show. And I always figured that must be somewhat similar to what it's like when you're in these movies and you have just these intense, you know, filming and creating and just doing it all together. It must be a really fun experience.
Yeah, it's definitely
challenging, but.
It's definitely challenging, but it is, as to your point, like it is such a team effort that it is important, you know, when you're putting together a team that, you know, you make sure everyone meshes really well and everyone works well together, because it is definitely, challenging. And Ring for Christmas, we shot in the winter, in the Northeast, you know, it was a really rigorous, a little over 2 weeks shooting schedule with, which if you know, or anyone knows, like, shooting a feature in 2 weeks is pretty intense. So yeah, it's definitely important to build that team mentality for sure.
Yeah. So how did you end up writing this movie, The Ring for Christmas? How did you end up writing it and getting involved with it?
Yeah. So I'm sure you know, and or anyone can guess, you know, this industry is really difficult. It's hard to break in and feel like, you know, you're getting opportunities you want. And especially as someone who's just an actor, it's hard to feel like you have control or autonomy over your career. It's hard to feel like you know, have a say in your own career sometimes. So after I graduated from NYU, I was feeling really stuck. I didn't really know what to do. And I got an idea for a web series. And I just produced, it's called Period Piece. I wrote, produced, acted in that. It's a short form comedic web series. And I just fell in love with writing and creating my own work for myself as an actor. Mm-hmm. It was such an empowering feeling to be on set and saying, oh my gosh, I made this thing. I got to, you know, make it with my friends, which was really fun, but I also get to feel like, oh wow, I created something and I got to act doing something I really wanted to do.
And this is on YouTube, right? The series?
Yes, it's on YouTube. And we have a website as well, periodpieceofficial.com.
And it's about having your period in different women in different time periods or something like that.
So it's the double entendre of the you know, the show is called Period Piece. So each episode is a different historical period. And then I did historical research kind of about myths surrounding menstruation or you know, products that were used, that kind of thing, or kind of facts about that time or the way things were viewed. And then I exaggerated it for comedic effect for the show. Yeah. And it was really fun to make. It was very, very fun to make. Each episode's only a couple minutes long. Got to make it with my friends and it did really well. We have 1.6 million views on YouTube.
No,
and yeah, so I was definitely happy with how much success it did get. So
that's great. Congratulations. That sounds interesting. Sounds fun. And is that something more for younger audiences or older audiences?
I think what's great about it is that anyone can watch it. So I think it was really fun for, you know, adults to be watching. It was like, it's funny. Especially my male friends found it great because they were like, oh wow, it was something I've never, you know, talked about before. And now it just seems so normal and it's funny. And, you know, it's not something that needs to be stigmatized. But then also I did get contacted by a few young kids, like middle schoolers who were like, we're doing a health project. You know, for our health class, and we want to talk to you about it. And so I met up with them and they interviewed me. And so that was really awesome too, to feel like, oh, it's like accessible enough for younger, you know, younger people to watch it. It's not, I wouldn't call it exactly educational, but it's educational in the sense of destigmatization, that kind of thing, you know, creating a conversation.
Cause that's so ridiculous. I mean, it's just a part of like, it's part of being a woman. Like, why is that a thing? Like, that it's something to be embarrassed about is ridiculous. So I think that's great.
I agree. I definitely agree. So I was definitely very happy that it was so well received, because that's exactly what I wanted. I wanted to be like, why is this, you know, almost half the population, you know, has to deal with this once a month.
Right.
So it's definitely something that should not be such a big deal.
Great. Well, so you took that and you said, my next step, I'm going to write a Christmas movie. How did that happen?
It's funny, because I think for most people, the next step would be, okay, I'll write another short thing or a short film. But I jumped right to feature film. I was like, I want to write a movie. And I've always loved Christmas movies. I love classic Christmas movies, but I also love the made for TV Christmas movies. They're so much fun. So when I was setting out to write this was my first feature that I wrote and starred in. When I was setting out, like, what should I write? I kind of was like, okay, I need to write something that I understand really well. These movies follow a pretty specific structure in terms of story arcs and kind of like things that need to happen. And the romantic story is usually a part of it. So it felt like a good first step for me to start with that kind of story. Plus I was like, this will just be so fun to work on. You know, I love Christmas. It's my favorite time of year. I was like, this will just be fun to make.
Do you have sort of favorite the made for TV Christmas movies, the Hallmark movies or Lifetime or whatever?
No, I don't know. Yeah. I'm trying to think, well, I have favorite Christmas movies. You know, Miracle on 34th Street is one my family and I watch every year. I love The Holiday as well, which is that Cameron Diaz, Kate Winslet. It's more of like a romantic comedy Christmas. It's definitely more like the made for TV Hallmark Christmas movies I normally just put on, and then it's, you know, I watch the whole group of them, you know, throughout the season, but I don't know if I have a specific that I would consider my favorite. I mean, they're also just heartwarming and lovely. So
Well, that's really cool. So then how long did it take you to write it?
I think it took me about 9 months to write, which is pretty quick. I had help from my mentor, Laura Borsma, who's one of the producers at Grand Falloon, who did executive produce A Ring for Christmas. And she was helping me. She read the script and kind of gave me feedback on how to make the script better and more Christmassy. And then she was the one who introduced me to the guys at Storyworks, Michael, Jeffrey, and Alex, who are our producers for A Ring for Christmas. So it was definitely, and they make a ton of Christmas, they've made a ton of Christmas movies. So they kind of knew exactly what they were doing. So it was nice. It was great to feel kind of like, okay, we're in good hands here for a Christmas movie.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
That's great. So how did you come up with, I guess, first of all, why don't you tell us a little bit about the story and then we'll talk about kind of how you came up with this, came up with it. So tell us a little bit about what the movie's about.
Sure. So A Ring for Christmas follows my character. Her name is Angie Moore, and she's a little bit of a spoiled single girl living in New York City, kind of living off her family money. But she gets cut off 25 days. She her mother says you have 25 days to figure your life out. But basically by Christmas Eve. But Angie discovers the existence of a very sizable trust fund that she will inherit when she gets married. So she sets out to find a man to marry by Christmas. And it was so fun to write and so fun to play. She starts kind of in the entire wrong place. You know, she's doing everything for all the wrong reasons. But then she journeys home back to her small hometown. And there she's able to reconnect to her family and reconnect to her past. By being there, she rediscovers, herself and rediscovers Christmas and the magic of Christmas.
Yeah. And there's a little bit of like a love triangle involved.
There's a little bit of a love triangle.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was funny when I was writing it though, I kind of wanted to make the love triangle, I'm not going to say any spoilers, but I wanted to make the love triangle like really a really intense love triangle. And people who were helping me who know these Christmas movies, they were like, it needs to be, even though there can be a love triangle, it needs to be pretty apparent from the beginning, like which one's going to win out.
Right.
So you don't want the audience to actually be struggling, like figuring out which one she's going to end up with. I was like, oh, all right, I guess you're right.
It's true. We only want so much melodrama in these movies.
Exactly.
So, how did you come up with this idea of this this girl that's just got to get married and kind of this whole thing? How did you come up with the idea?
Yeah, I've been asked this question before by other people, and I'm trying to remember. I think honestly, the idea of writing a woman who was very flawed. I think kind of the idea of like a woman racing to get married by Christmas was kind of the idea that came first. And then I think I did come up with the title pretty early. I was like, Ring for Christmas. There must be a movie called Ring for Christmas. But luckily there wasn't. So I think it kind of came from that. I loved the idea of like a woman doing things, a woman needing to sort out her priorities and racing to find a man to marry by Christmas time was kind of a funny idea for me. So I think that's kind of how it started.
Yeah. So you knew from the beginning you wanted this to be your film for yourself to be the lead in. Was there ever any kind of doubt about that, about you being the lead?
No, not really. I think it definitely was a conversation to be had with the team because obviously when you are starting out in your career, you know, these channels, UpTV, Hallmark, Lifetime, they use a lot of the same actors for their Christmas movies. So because I've never done one before and I don't have like a huge, huge resume, you know, I'm still at the beginning of my career. It was a conversation about, you know, if you are set, like you are playing this role, then we need to make sure we build the cast around you, a very exciting cast that people will be thrilled to see. And we got some amazing people. I mean, we got Lorraine Bracco, who's an Academy Award nominee, Goodfellas, and she was in The Sopranos, and Michael Gross, who obviously is such a household name, Family Ties, and Dean Geyer, who was on Glee. So we luckily, you know, lucky for me, playing the lead was kind of never off the table because we were able to get these amazing other actors to act around me.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that, especially Michael Gross. That must've been amazing.
Oh, he is a gem, truly.
I mean, America's dad.
He's America's dad. I like still have to pinch myself that he's played my dad in a movie. He's honestly just as lovely as you would expect. He's the nicest person I've ever met. And he was so wonderful to work with. He was like really in the scene with me. We had some pretty emotional scenes. And he was really, you know, really focused, even when it's, you know, my close up, you know, the camera's completely on me. He's nowhere in the shot. He was just giving me 100%, which makes a huge difference. And it was, sure. It was very great of him to do that. So he was, yeah. He was wonderful.
Was it hard casting your co-leads? So you have the guy that, you have the one lead who you're going to marry. You have the other lead who was an old flame. Is that fair to say?
And best friend. They were like best friends. It was never romantic. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So how was that in casting those roles?
That was great. I mean, we kind of, you know, you make your wish list. That's kind of how it works. And then you offer roles out, you know, when you feel like you have your, okay, this is my ideal person for who I want. And then you reach out to their people and then hopefully they read the script and hopefully they love it. So we were so excited to get Dean. I think Dean was one of the first people we got, which was great. Mm-hmm. Cause he's awesome. Though I wish, you know, as I said, he was on Glee. I wish if I'd known we were going to get him when I was writing the script, I probably would have made his character like a singer or something.
Yeah.
He's such a great singer. I was like, oh, this is
next script.
Yeah. Next. When we were shooting, I was like, should I like make him humming in this scene just to make Dean sing? But he was like, no, let's just, you know, like, let's keep it how it is. So, so he was great. And Charles obviously was really fun. Charles Hittinger, who plays the other point of the triangle. Uh-huh. He was awesome to work with. He's so funny and such an amazing presence. Like, he's just so fun to have on set. So he was great to work with, especially on this shoot when it was a little difficult sometimes, you know, long days and cold weather. And so it was important to have positive people on set, you know.
That sounds great. So you put on a whole wedding on this movie. And so what was that like to do?
It was fun. It was fun to do. It's funny actually, cause the movie's called A Ring for Christmas, obviously. And I got engaged to my fiance, John, in December, right before we went into shooting. So I got a ring for Christmas right before we went into shooting A Ring for Christmas. So then going right in and trying on wedding dresses and all this stuff, it was so fun. Cause it was like, oh, I can kind of get ideas and figure out my wedding and see what silhouettes of wedding dresses look good on me and that kind of thing. So it was definitely fun to feel like I was planning this fake wedding when I was trying to get, it was like a living Pinterest board of like, oh, let me look at these dresses and the decorations and stuff. So that was really fun.
That would be fun. And you're just looking at the flowers and the other things. It's too bad you couldn't just like combine the two in some way.
I'm like, John, just come to set, you know. Yeah. We'll ordain Lorraine Bracco. She'll just marry us right on set. Hey, we'd have camera crews there already.
Get our
home video going.
You could just have your family and friends be the extras. And you got
there
it.
You
next
go.
Next time, if they do a Ring for Christmas 2, then you can just make that your actual wedding.
Perfect.
That's great. Yeah, I think that would be fun to get to do all that without like the pressure of it being the actual wedding, you know, kind of thing.
And it was nice to be able to like show John pictures of the wedding dresses, the costumes, you know, because like they're not going to be my wedding dress, but then I can kind of get a sense of like, ooh, what silhouettes does he like? Like, what does he like? You know, what does he like on me? So that was fun too, to be able to show him pictures of, because obviously when I tried on real wedding dresses in real life, I was not sending him any pictures, obviously.
Yeah. So you were lucky that you got this done before COVID, right?
Yes. Yeah. We actually shot in 2019. We shot last year. Yeah, we shot in March of 2019. So we were done well ahead of time. Yeah, which was great. But then we did shoot a couple extra scenes. We were like, we wanted to make the movie really perfect and release it at the right time when we felt like it was ready. And we did do some reshoots in Los Angeles this year, and they were in February, right before COVID happened. So we were lucky that everything kind of, we had most of the movie all done, and then we just shot these couple extra things, And then when it's in post-production with the editor, you know, it's easier for, you know, one person to be editing it and working on it.
Well, that is really lucky that you were able to get it all done.
Yeah.
You didn't have to deal with all the new restrictions and everything like that.
No.
So that's good. Well, we're looking forward to, I mean, I've seen the film because I saw an early preview and I enjoyed it. And I will look forward to everybody else getting to see it
this Thank you.
Weekend on up. And so we like to end our interviews with some fun, silly questions. So,
fun, yes.
All right. What is your favorite holiday drink?
I love eggnog.
Yeah.
I'm an eggnog girl.
All right. What is your favorite holiday cookie or treat?
Oh, my sister makes really good. They're called Butterballs. They're like these nutty, buttery cookies. So good. I think those are my favorite.
That sounds good. Okay. What is your favorite Christmas song or carol?
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a really tough one. I mean, the Mariah Carey is great, obviously. Yeah. But kind of classic. I am a sucker for kind of the classic music. You know, White Christmas. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Mm-hmm. What's the one, Chestnuts Roasting? What is that one called?
The Christmas song.
I love Christmas song. I love all those classic Christmas songs. Yeah.
That's very good. All right. What is your favorite classic Christmas movie?
I think Miracle on 34th Street. Yeah, that's my favorite.
It's a really good one. You would like Christmas in Connecticut, I think. You should see that. Yeah, because that's very, very similar to, I think, its style and feel to your film. Yeah, you should definitely, it's really funny. It's about this woman who is writing this column, and she pretends to be this like ultimate domestic, but in truth, she's not at all. And so this Navy guy comes back from the war, and wants like the ideal Christmas. And so she has to fake it, the whole thing, and pretend like she knows how to do everything. It's really funny.
That sounds familiar, but the first part sounded familiar. The second part didn't sound as familiar. So maybe I haven't seen it.
It's like the ancestor to all of these Christmas movies.
Amazing.
It's really good. Anyway. Okay. Very good. Which do you like better, Scrooge or the Grinch?
Ooh, I think Scrooge.
Okay, good. What do you like better, clear lights or colored?
Clear, absolutely. I like the traditional clear white lights.
Very good. Snowball fight or build a snowman?
Snowball fight.
Okay, very good. Would you consider yourself a good gift wrapper?
Yes, yes. I can definitely do 3 pieces of tape.
Oh, good.
For a present, yeah.
Ooh, that's good. You've got skills. All right. Last question. Do you have an ugly Christmas sweater?
I do.
Yeah. What does it look like?
Oh, it's definitely was for a man, an adult man, because it's huge. but it's green. It's knitted. It's really thick and woolen, definitely made out of wool, green. I think it has like just a fun pattern on it with like snowflakes and stuff. It's just kind of a very traditional looking Christmas sweater.
That sounds fun. There we go. You passed the test. You answered all the Christmas questions. Very good. Thank you so much for coming and talking with us. This was a lot of fun. And where can people watch the film if they are interested in the new movie?
Yeah. So A Ring for Christmas is premiered on November 8th at 7 p.m. on Up TV. But it will be playing throughout the Christmas season. So you can check Up TV's website, uptv.com, for the full schedule. You can find the future showings. And if you don't have cable, you can use the Philo app, PHILO, which allows you to watch live TV right on the app. And you can sign up and get a 7-day free trial. So that is also a way to watch if you just have like a smart TV or streaming, that kind of thing.
Yes. Y'all should check that out. Definitely. And if people want to follow you on social media or that kind of thing, how can they do that?
Sure. So I'm on Instagram at L Tandon, TANDON. And I'm on Twitter at Liliana Tandon.
Great. And so make sure you're all following that. We'll have that all in the description section. And you can follow, make sure you're following the podcast, Home Rookies Pod and Home Rookies Podcast, all over social media. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews. That helps us out a lot. And if you are watching on YouTube, please give this video a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. We sure appreciate that. And we also have our Patreon group and merch store. So check all of that. We got festive designs all over the place over there. More information about that in the description. You can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. And thanks so much, Liana. This was really fun to get to meet you and talk with you and hear your experience. Congratulations on getting your film made. That's awesome. And have a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Yes. And Merry Christmas, everybody. And Happy New Year.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.